good singing all the way around. It's just a blessing from on high to be able to hear all this good singing.
You going to be here Sunday night?
You. Talking about you. Yeah. Well, I mean, even if your mom and daddy ain't here, you can still be here, couldn't you? Don't you drive or anything?
Not legally.
You're driving them. That's a good answer. That's a good answer. I'll let you preach for me on Sunday night if you want to, you know. So, hey, you can rear back and let it rip, and I'll finish it up with you like we do in days gone by. And so if you'd like to be able to do that. Okay, hey, that's great all the way around. And so I've got it turned on already. I thought I could hear myself. And I thought, boy, if it's not, it's somebody just like me. So I'm glad. All right, take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Psalms, chapter number 25. Psalm chapter number 25, verse 1. If you find a place you're able to stand, we'll look there in verse 1. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee, and let me not be ashamed, and let not my enemies triumph over me. And yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. And let them be ashamed which transgress without a cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths, and lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and I would do thank you that thou art God, and beside thee there's none else. Bless, I pray, now the remainder of this service. Bless the word of the Lord to each and every heart. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted. Set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while about the soul of man is in the hand of God. Let me tell you right, the soul of man's in God's hand. If you're here tonight and you're saved by the grace of God, it's in the hand of God. That's where your soul's at. And you know what ended up happening was is that over there in the book of Genesis, you'll find that whenever God made a man and he took and made him out of, you know, the dust of the earth and so forth and all, and then the Bible said that he breathed into him and he became a living soul. There are a lot of souls here gathered here tonight. And let me tell you right now that you and I that are born into the family of God, he has saved us from our sin and saved our soul. And that's when he speaks to us the pardon. I want to say to you, the Bible said over in the book, do not turn there, but in the book of Ezekiel in chapter number 18, about verse number 20, he said, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. I want to tell you, everybody here, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the reason why we needed a Savior. You know, the first Adam, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15, you ain't got to turn there either, but in verse 45, the first man was Adam, and he was a living soul. The last Adam, being the Lord Jesus Christ, was made a quickening spirit. You know, in this Bible lesson, the Bible teaches us that the wages of sin is death. Why do you think that death has come upon all men? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be one of his and to be a child of the King, child of God. And as we begin to look into it, you know, the Bible said over in the book of Ecclesiastes, I think it's in chapter number 7, but there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Let me tell you right now is, it don't matter where you hail from, it don't matter what your pedigree is, it don't matter where you came from, let me tell you, whenever it comes time to be able to stand before the Lord, you're going to answer between you and God. Make no mistake about that. I'll say to you that whenever you come to know him in the free pardon of sin, there's a lot of time. And you know, and I've noticed something down through the years, and what 31 years this last whenever it was, I've noticed something in those 31 years. We've seen a lot of people come, and we've seen a lot of people go. And let me tell you right now, it's always hate to see anybody with kids go, because then you're losing a shot at them. But I've noticed something about here. When they leave here, they don't come back. I can name you places where people have left, and they go back, and they've been every skunk and every punk and every lie, cheat and connive, adulterer and fornicator. And buddy, they just yoke up with them like they were the example of Christianity. God bless you. You don't find that going on here. I don't know why they're welcome to be able to come back. I've only sent away two people that with a letter don't ever come back. If you do, I'll have you ushered out. Only two. Hey, you didn't know that, did you? Let me tell you, I don't have to pastor anybody that I don't want to. In fact, I called the sheriff's office. It's over one guy we just want to run off. And I said, what I need to do about it? He said, just tell me if you want me to come out there and run him off or not. I said, no, I think we can handle it very fine. I've got some men that want to handle it. They want to leave their mark in this life. But we're not going to do that. I just said all that to be able to tell you is that the soul of man is in God's hand. And I tell you right now is that if you do the work of Christianity very long, then you had better be sure that you're in the hand of God, because if you don't, one of these days you're liable to come up against a Democrat that's demon-possessed. And if you see one that's not demon-possessed, it's because they're too young to know how to be able to let that demon come on in. There's a bunch of them out there. Do you see how they're doing Pete head check, you know, and what's Vice President Vance? You see how they're doing? I mean, here's a city. Washington, is it D.C.? Is that where it's at? Here's a city that's got crime on every corner. In fact, is at the half corner. People being murdered and slaughtered and robbed and all that. And that's slowing down now. You would think that all of Washington, D.C. would get out there and say, hey, you demon-possessed Democrats, shut up and let them clean this place on up. See what I'm talking about? I don't know how much goes on here in Nacogdoches, but we got plenty of them. I guarantee you we got plenty of them lesbos and stuff like that that'll demonstrate, that'll get out there on I remember one time. Whenever they were taken, remember back whenever I first came here, they had some slogans on the police cars that they have since removed. And I can remember some Otwell's bunch that had some posters, and they was up there around the jailhouse, and they had some posters, man, and you talk about they didn't have a hernia on their lung or a bunion on their tongue. Man, they had them big old queer-looking men that they had drawn cartoon, and pretty good art. I've got it in my repertoire somewhere. And they had pictures of all of that and making a mockery of our system and the judges and the in our courts in our town. But make no mistake about it, they're telling the truth. And let me say to you that, if you will, that the college is full of that. You know, the most important thing on one of these college kids, you're good girls, you're good men, good young men, good ladies, but you're having to go to school with a bunch of infidels. There's some of them lesbians that just love to kiss you right in the mouth. There's some of those queer men pressing around that would just love kiss you right in the mouth. Now, it's not a laughing matter, but I laugh because how can you imagine somebody trying to go up and kiss one of these grown men here? I mean, at first you'd probably be a little bit befuddled. I guarantee you, you'd not back off and say, hey, he's a kisser. I want to say to you that, if you will, we live in a world that's lost and undone without God. And let me say to you, make no mistake about it, the Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to say to you, the redemption of the soul, whenever God prepared it, Jesus died on the cross, bowed his head, said it's finished. Now let me tell you, redemption ceased. If you'll not come his way and receive what he did on the old rugged cross, then you're going to miss heaven and you're going straight to hell. If you want to miss hell and make heaven, you better come the only way there is. It's the blood-bought way. It's the way of those that are born again that has been provided for by the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say to you, not only did he create our soul, but this Bible said we're a living soul. That Bible said that we're the lifting soul. We're lifted up. That Bible said we're lasting. Let me tell you, I'm glad to know that he said that whenever you and I come to know Jesus Christ, he said, he that believeth on me shall never die. Believest thou this? I don't tell you, we'll never die. We may move out of this body here to the other side, but let me tell you, we'll just be moving from here, living with him on the inside till we are transported there, and we're living with him on the other side. Listen, those that are born into the family of God will never die. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you trusted him as your Lord and Savior? Have you been washed by the blood of the Lamb of God? Then you'll never die. That doesn't mean that you won't, one of these days, that the undertaker won't come and lay you to rest, as the term is, and you'll already be resting in the arms of the Lord long before it gets to him. I want to say to you that, if you will, that we are a created soul that God cares about and gave himself for. Not only that, but I want to say to you, we're a converted soul. I hope you are. Now, you're going to find out, the Bible said in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, do not turn there, but he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Do you love him with all your heart tonight? And with all thy soul. See, he mentions that. And with all thy might. In other words, you and I ought to give every fiber of our being toward the Lord, and that we ought to love God and be thankful. Let me tell you something. Here's what the requirement of the Lord is. Fear the Lord and walk in his commandments, in his ways. I'll tell you something. If you love him and serve him and you walk with him and you do it with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And in fact, do you remember over there in the book of Mark chapter number 12 and about verse number 29 down through 30? I'll read that to you. If you'd like to turn there, you can. But in Mark chapter number 12, there's a passage there that we ought to be looking at. Now, we just got through quoting one out of the Old Testament. And let me say to you, when you look there in chapter number 12 of the book of Mark and about verse number 39, if I'm in the right place, and the Bible said there when you look, chapter number 12, verse 29. I can't see hardly out of these bifolds. Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is to hear, O Lord Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, this is the first commandment God's letting Israel hear. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Man, what a heart full, what a mind full, what a mouthful that this is the first commandment of all. Let me tell you something. This thing starts with God. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and it's going to end up with God. And let me tell you right now, is you'd better, before you end this line, you better somehow or another come to the place that you love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your mind. This is the first commandment that God has given. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into this, is that a person that's saved by the grace of God is a converted soul, and a converted soul is in the person of God and knows the Lord and is walking in the path of God with him. I was thinking about in this lesson that we're looking at over in Psalm chapter number 38 and about verse number 13, that Bible said he's delivered us from the lowest hell. Now, I can tell you right now, hell by itself and the highest place is going to be bad enough. But can you remember that the great mercy of God has kept you and I from the lowest hell? He snatched us as a brand from the burning, washed us from our sins, and took up residence on the inside of our heart, the innermost being. I want to tell you something, is that that's the reason why every now and again you're sitting around and it reminds you where God brought you from and where you would have been and could have been had it not been for the grace of God. I want to say to you, if that don't charge you up, you got a dead battery cell. You're going to find out that you ought to get fired up for God every now and again because of what he's done and because of what he's doing. I want to say fourthly tonight is that we ought to be committed. If your soul is right with God, you ought to be committed unto the Lord. I'm going to tell you something, that a fired up church has people that have been committed and that are faithful unto the word of the Lord. And you know, that's not an easy task. I mean, the devil's pulling at you right and left and up and down and all that business there. But I'm glad to know him in the free pardon of sin. I'm a child of the King, and that ought to put you on shouting ground. When you begin to look into it, you're going to find out there was a time we were bound in sin and blindness, and we were headed straight to hell, and we were in the prison house of Satan. One day we can hear him walking down the corridor of that prison wall, and we could hear the keys as they jingled, and as he opened up the door of the prison house to turn us out and let us free. I don't know about you, I don't think I'd ever like going to jail. I preached to people in jail, preached to people in prison, and not one of them in there, not one of them, you know, of course, con men, they really call them con men, they're caught trying to con you, but you know, anywhere you go, anywhere you go, I used to preach over at Angola, at the penitentiary at Angola, and there's some of those big, I mean, buddy, big black dudes, you hear me? And they loved me, and they were saved and knew the Lord, and they loved the Lord. And the first time I ever went, one of them big black dudes got up and said, let me say something for you, Reverend. Y'all see this man? Any one of you raise your hand or voice toward him in a wrong manner, you're going to answer to me for it. And boy, let me tell you, it got so quiet you could hear a pin drop. I was glad I was on his side. But there's one mightier than him. Boy, you ought to be glad you're on his side. You ought to be glad to be a child of the King. I want to say to you that if you will, please, is that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you'll find that if you've got a saved soul, you're concerned about other people that need the Lord as well. In closing tonight, I want to say to you, God changed our lives, did he not? From the prison house to praising God. And let me tell you what he did is that in verse number 4 of our text, he showed me some things. He showed me who I was, showed me how holy he is, and so forth and on. In verse 5 of our text, he leads me. He not only showed me who I was, what I needed, but now he said, show me thy way, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. That's why you're walking in the right path. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation, and on thee do I wait all the day. And then notice in verse number 5 again there, that not only did he say, lead me in the truth, but teach me, and he said, I'm just waiting on God to come again. In verse number 7 of our text, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm saved. I've been forgiven. I've been washed by the blood, born into the family of God, and he has separated me from my sins as far as the east is from the west. And I'm glad to know that he's put them in the sea of forgetfulness and that I've been saved and my sins have been forgiven. Last but not least, let me say to you, in verse number 13 of our text, there's a comfort there. He said, his soul shall dwell at ease and his seed shall inherit the earth. Now, I can rest at ease tonight. And I've got the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And if you're saved, so do you. Matthew chapter number 10, about verse number 28, you'll find that he's able to take and destroy both the soul and the body in a place called hell if he so choose. But if you're born again, that'll make you hell-proof and heaven-bound. In Mark chapter number 8 and verse number 36, he said, what shall it profit a man that if he gain the world and lose his own soul? And then he asked, what would you give in exchange for your soul? There's a passage, and I want to give you the Bible order of it, and I know you already know it. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, it's about verse number 23, he begins to mention it because man is a triune being. There's a spirit, soul, and body. The Lord Jesus Christ, we were made after the image of God, who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you right now is that whenever God sanctifies your whole spirit, soul, and body. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that whenever I sit down and relax, that I'm not trying to hold on and hold out and do the best I can. I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I'm looking forward and listening for that trumpet and looking forward with great anticipation to the soon coming again of the Lord. You know, we've talked about that, and I've had people that I've tried to witness to and say, you know, the Lord's going to get. I've heard that all my life. Well, it's true. It reminds you that it is true that he's coming again, and obviously you're not prepared to meet him. Are you telling me you think I'm going to hell? I'm not thinking nothing. I'm just trying to tell you, if you've not come to Christ as an empty-handed beggar, you're hell-bound, and the only way you can miss hell and make heaven is in a person. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I got news for you right now. I don't like some of the people in your church. And I probably said something like, well, I understand. I don't either. And what's worse than that, some of them don't like me. And then they'll all look dumbfounded at you, you know. But I got to tell you right now, it isn't going to make any difference who likes you and who don't like you. If you die without the Lord, if you live without the Lord and die without the Lord, you're going to spend eternity without the Lord. Whenever Jesus bowed his head, gave up the ghost, said it's finished, that you could be born into the family of God. I had a man I was witnessing to. He claimed to be a JW, Jehovah's Witness. And anyhow, when I was talking to him and he said, well, I tell you right now, you have it your way and I'll have it my way. And we were not coming to a meeting of the minds whatsoever. And I said, no, sir, that's not the way it is. Let me tell you, it's not my way and your way. It's God's way. And you'd better make sure you find out what that way is. Tell me one thing, preacher, I'd like to know. Why would I want to go to heaven? What can you tell me about heaven that would be desirable to me? I said, well, here's all I can tell you. Have you ever had a day that was such a wonderful day? Peaceful? Everything was just going your way and right? No trouble, no anguish? No heartache, no heartbreak. It was one of those days that you would wish would never end. Well, yeah, I've had that. I said, that's what heaven is. That's what heaven is. It's a day that's never going to end. It's one of those days you wish this could never end. You know, here we have those days. Every one of us has had a day like that. Most of the time, it's around Christmas time when you've opened up your favorite present or something like that. And as a result of that, you're going to find out is that there are some blessed days that we've enjoyed here in this life, but sooner or later, they come to an end. I got to tell you something. I can't see not one of us running up and down that street of gold that ever wants that to end. Now, I don't know what all there is to be able to do in heaven, but whatever it is, I plan to do it. I plan to do it. It's already mapped out and planned for me to do it. Now, I'm a little apprehensive about that judgment seat of Christ. But after all of that's said and done, heaven is my home. And I'm going to be with the Master. What about you tonight? Young man, young lady, sir, ma'am, what have you done with Christ? Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. We're not going to spend a lot of time. We're about to leave here this evening. But maybe God's been tugging at your heart's door. Maybe you would say, preacher, I really need something real from the hand and from the heart of God. Our Father, we want to say thank you now for loving us. We ask your blessings now upon this service. We thank you now for the privilege to be able to come together like this. I pray your blessings upon these boys and girls and men and women that have gathered here this evening. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. May each and every Christian be reminded of that. In Jesus' name we pray.